Welcome to the Habit Mechanic Podcast. To help you finish this year strongly and get ready for a successful 2024, we're re-releasing every podcast we've recorded so far that takes a deep dive into the Habit Mechanic book. The episode's coming up in a few moments. Remember, if you want to get your business off to a great start in January, get in touch to discuss how our Habit Mechanic keynotes or workshops can equip your people with practical skills that help them build super habits in 5 minutes. Or if you want to earn £100,000 per year working part-time by launching your own coaching business, we guarantee to help you do that in just 13 hours. Get in touch with us today to learn more about becoming a certified Habit Mechanic coach who can transform people's lives and is recognized as a world leader in the field. For more details, contact us via the website. The link is in the podcast notes. Or if you want to feel better and do better every day, download the Habit Mechanic University app from your app store. Enjoy the episode.
Hello, Habit Mechanics. Dr. John Finn here. Hope you're having a fantastic week so far. Welcome to another episode of the Habit Mechanic podcast. We're going to cover chapter 15 from the Habit Mechanic book. And this is the first chapter where we start to think about the rich toolkit that's available within the Habit Mechanic book. It's also in the Habit Mechanic app as well. So I suppose it's a segue chapter which sets up all these rich and powerful tools you're going to get. And I think it's a really, really short but powerful chapter. So I'm really looking forward to unpacking this. And I'm joined as ever by my friend and colleague, Andrew Whitelam. Andrew, how are you?
Yes. Hi, John. Great to be here again with you on this live stream and looking forward to delving into chapter 15 and, of course, answering any questions that people on the stream might have. And they can just post them in the chat if they want to. And I'll pick those up and we can pass them on to you and you can come back to people. So very much looking forward to this session.
Yeah, so this is a live session. It's part of the premium subscription in the Habit Mechanic University app. It's one of three live sessions that we do every week. And also coupled with our live training is unlimited on-demand personal coaching. And I know many people have been using the new coaches that we've added into the Habit Mechanic University. I've been using them myself and they are really, really powerful. So if you do have any questions, let us know. Equally, if you're online, if you're joining us, just say hi. It's good to know who's joined us today. So don't be shy. Let us know you're here and then certainly ask questions. So yeah, over to you, Andrew. I think you've got some questions about the chapter.
Yeah, that's right, John. Chapter 15, train your willpower to help you be your best more often. Now, in the chapter, you, as well as the title, which is very clear, you also write, the better trained your willpower, the more effortlessly you'll be able to be your best. Willpower as a trainable resource. I think that might possibly be a surprising concept, a surprising idea for some people. So please do talk to us a bit more about that, please.
Yeah, so equally, Hugh is a trainable resource for lots of unhelpful things. So we talked about the lighthouse brain model, which I think is in chapter 10. And the challenge that we have in understanding ourselves is that the main driver of our behavior is the most complex thing in the known universe, that is our brain. We've only been able to look inside brains for about 20, 25 years in a meaningful way via technologies like functional MRI scanners. And it's a hugely complex thing. But after 20 or so years of studying and examining the brain, and also plugging that neuroscience data into other sets of behavioural data that we've collected before we could look inside the brain, we do have a gist understanding of what we are designed to do and what our brain is designed to do. And what we've learned over the years, you know, I've been working in these fields for over 20 years now. I've worked with, when we first were writing the book, which is probably over 2 years ago now, I talked about 10,000 people, so it's way more than that now. We know that when we start to get into the nitty-gritty and the neurobiological terms for the brain and this area and that area, we can confuse people pretty quickly. What we also know is that we are designed, our brains are designed to learn episodically. We have episodic memories. And episodic memories are very useful for remembering stories. You know, and culturally, as Homo sapiens, we have these stories that drive our belief systems. So what we've done in the habit mechanic approach, what we've been refining in the tougher minds approach over many, many years, is we're trying to make really relatable stories that are actually backed by really good science. So when we're talking about willpower, this imaginary character that lives in a lighthouse brain that actually neurobiologically we're referring to the prefrontal cortex, and we're saying that willpower can be trained, what we're really saying is the sites in our brain that help us to regulate impulses and help us to start building new helpful habits and help us to start automating new helpful habits, they are trainable, like a muscle is trainable. So we have about 100 billion neurons in our brain. They're like plasticine. They're changing all the time in accordance with what we practice. The neurons that you work out, that you practice using every day. So for example, you might practice beating yourself up a lot, or you might practice being inattentive. You might practice being negative. You might practice staying up late. You might practice eating too much junk food. You might practice doing no exercise. We don't think typically of doing those things as practice, but that's what it is. The more we practice anything, the more wires in our brain we develop for it. The more we practice using our prefrontal cortex, our willpower, the more we strengthen it. Brains are changing all the time, but they mature. So our brain, in broad terms, wires from the back of the head. So when we're first born, we don't have much wiring anywhere apart from right at the back of the head. So our real survival centers. And as we're growing through our childhood years and then into our teens and into our early to mid-20s, we're getting increasing levels of wiring moving from the back of our head to the front of our head. And the last part of our brain to wire is the prefrontal cortex. And it's the first part to degenerate, which is why we see those prefrontal cortex diseases setting in when we get older. But I could go further there, Andrew, but I don't want to just hog the microphone, so to speak. But that's when we're talking about training willpower, that's what we mean. We can train these sites in our brain, which we unpacked a little bit in the last podcast that we did when we talked about emotional regulation. We can train those sites because those sites are like muscles.
Yeah, and I know this overview of the brain structure and how brains function is a central core of everything you do in your work to help people do better and feel better. And of course, that understanding now is being delivered via the Habit Mechanic University app and of course in the Habit Mechanic book. What sort of reaction do you get from people who come to this knowledge for the first time? It is quite revelatory. It certainly was for me when I first came across it.
The reaction is almost a light bulb moment that makes sense. And I was actually speaking to one of my clients yesterday, very, very experienced behavior change person. And he'd come across the Habit Mechanic book, read it, decided he was training to become a certified Habit Mechanic coach. And he was just saying that I am absolutely believe now this approach, helping people to build better habits using this framework, is the only way to help people build sustainable change. So it just makes sense. And if you think of what other things people may have heard about themselves and the things that drive them, it will be very black box ideas. But from school, they will have been taught that they're either good at something or they're not good at something. And the things they're not good at, they'll never be good at. And then we have these personality tests designed over 100 years ago and that give people these arbitrary kind of personas that are too rigid to be useful, but are actually used, you know, worryingly in mainstream society to segment people, you know, in terms of getting employment, but also when they're employment. So when you can tell people a story, and this is when we know data's good, because for anything we're trying to understand, we can get multiple sources of data. So if we think about human behavior, we can get data from how brains work. We can also get data from what we see people doing. We can get data from people explaining their experience of things. And this willpower story with the ape brain and human, the three ways we've described the brain over the subsequent, the last set of talks that we've done and pods that we've done, they really connect with people. And that tells me that they're on the money in terms of how they're explaining how humans operate. So in a short story or even a paragraph or a few sentences, this understanding moves people from being a bit troubled and maybe confused about why they feel like they feel to getting an awful lot more clarity on why it is like that, but also the understanding that they can do better because they're not fixed and it's normal that we might worry and beat ourselves up or have unhelpful habits, but there's a way to do things differently and better. If you want to fulfill your potential or help other people fulfill their potential so you can feel great and get the rewards and respect you deserve, then I want to give you a free physical copy of my new best-selling book, because you deserve to know the truth. The most important things for fulfilling your potential are not tips, tricks, hacks, therapy, coaching, meditation, breathwork, goal setting, journaling, or finding your why. I know it sounds irrational because we're so used to hearing about using these things to help us fulfill our potential. But these approaches are outdated and ineffective, and they are based on a big lie.
To find out more and get your free physical copy of Dr. John Finn's best-selling book, The Habit Mechanic, go to tougherminds.co.uk. Yeah, and part of the way you engage people with the stories and with the concepts, which is so powerful. I've certainly seen it myself. Obviously, we're this far in the book now, so people hopefully will be familiar with the lighthouse brain concept that you've touched on, and also the character you call Hugh, horribly unhelpful emotions, H-U-E, Hugh. In chapter 15, which we're discussing now, you talk about how willpower can guide and mentor Hugh almost, and you talk about a learning room in the lighthouse itself, the lighthouse brain. So how helpful is this sort of relation to think of this relationship between our willpower and our Hugh?
Well, I think it's very relatable, the idea of, you know, if we go back to maybe more simplistic and earlier forms of self-understanding. I used to work a lot in golf psychology, and I remember a story of, I think, some guys who were playing on the sort of the challenge tour level, so the level below the European tour. And one guy was telling this story about the playing partner he was with, and he periodically kept whacking his left shoulder. And this guy's looking and thinking, what's this guy doing? And he carried on doing it. So he eventually asked him, what are you doing? He said, oh, that's the devil. Keeps saying bad things to me. You know, so we have the idea of the angel and the devil on either shoulder, this self-talk idea. I've heard people talking about the judge and judgmental. What the lighthouse brain story is, it's a neurobiological-based understanding of what actually is happening in your brain, but in a relatable way. And the fact that there is a relationship dynamic going on, we have this incredible power to talk to ourselves You know, most of the time, we're not even, well, most people are not aware they're even doing that. So we say, if you don't think you're speaking to yourself right now, notice how you're saying to yourself, I'm not speaking to myself. I'm a crazy person. So it's there all the time, but we're not aware of it. So I think it's just very relatable. But the fact that it's based on robust science makes it more powerful in terms of helping people to not just believe, but to start taking positive action.
Okay, thanks, John. I just want to sort of jump ahead, as it were, in a way. In the rest of the chapter, we talk about the vast array of practical tools that are based on this understanding and spring forth, if you like, from this understanding. But I know one clear message you give consistently to people about if they want to strengthen and boost their willpower is their brain state, their brain health. Of course, you point out this is principally driven by sleep, diet, and exercise. Just talk to us about that, if you would, how your willpower is rooted in these three things.
Yeah, so willpower is a limited resource in the sense of we only have so much of it each day. Everyone can relate to having great intentions, but they get to the end of the day, they're tired, and then they just continue with their old unhelpful habits. If you read someone like Roy Baumeister's work, he talks about, you know, glucose is the fuel that's driving willpower, which is interesting. But it depletes. We know that if we're sleeping well, if we're exercising properly, and remember we're designed to move around, walk 12 miles per day, doesn't mean we need to do that, but that's what we are anthropologically designed to do. We're hunter-gatherers. And also if we're not putting the right food into our body. So let me say that in a different way. Sleep, diet, and exercise underpin brain health. The most difficult part of your brain to get working well is your prefrontal cortex. So it stands to reason that if your brain's not very healthy, your PFC is not going to work very well. So if you've got brain fog or low energy levels, the first thing to think about is the quality of your sleep, the quality of your diet, and the quality of the exercise that you do every day, because they all underpin. Now, excitingly, Andrew, we have just released the diet, exercise, and sleep swap tool, which is the DES swap. So people may have seen this in the Habit Mechanic book. It's in chapter 19, the paper version of it. We've just released a digital version of that inside the Habit Mechanic University app. So people that are subscribed, you go into your toolkit. Well, if you can work with the sleep and health coach, but if you want to use the DES swap tool, you go into your toolkit, go into the training section and go into the sleep, diet, and exercise section. That's possibly the most powerful tool we've just released, partly because getting those three things right is so essential, but more difficult than ever before. And we know the DES swap is super, super powerful, and being able to use a digital version just takes it to another level. So, yeah, as always in our approach, we're not just going to help you to understand what you need to do. We're going to help you to habitualize it as well. And if you're listening to this, you'll be able, and you're a premium member, you'll be able to access the DES swap tool.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I've seen that appear in the app and or the developments for it, and looking forward very much to seeing that really start to flourish now, and hopefully people will be really starting to use it. John, as we move through chapter 15 then, you talk about, and you almost excitingly set out a journey for people by listing the vast array of tools that are predicated and based on the understanding of how our brains work and how habits drive us. So many different things: sleep, diet, and exercise, stress management, confidence, productivity, performing under pressure. In the chapter, you stress how at the heart of this, getting these things right, is planning. And of course, the Habit Mechanic University app helps us do that. Why does planning, why is planning so pivotal to sort of marshalling our willpower and being able to accomplish these things that you set out?
Yeah, so everything that we help people to do differently so they can build more helpful habits, more super habits, and destroy more destructive habits really centers on doing more intelligent self-watching, more intelligent planning. Most of the time, we are running on autopilot. So we are just running on habitual behavior, what we think and what we do. We know that's a minimal of 98%. Often it's 100%. I know that's quite a hard. I've had a few editors that have struggled to get their head around that idea. I didn't want to publish that kind of stat until you showed them the scientific papers. Because we have an illusion of consciousness in our brain, we're running on autopilot most of the time. So why is self-watching, intelligent self-watching and intelligent planning powerful? Because that's when we switch on our prefrontal cortex. It's where we deliberately move ourselves out of our habitual brain and we switch on the neocortex and we switch on, you know, we can think of the PFC in very simple terms. It's like a brake that can just pause some of the automaticity. So if we just take a really simple example, you're on a diet, you don't want to consume any sugar today. You go to the cafe for a coffee and you see all the delicious cakes and muffins lined up. And you'll think, your eight brain is telling you, ooh, they look good. Oh, they'd be so nice. Oh, you should probably have one of those. And we can make a decision to get one, or we can say, no, I'm on a diet. If that morning we've created a desk swap plan, for example, where we're focusing on our diet, and part of that plan is to not have any refined sugar today, we're going to be more conscious that we've made that commitment and therefore more likely to resist the temptation. And what we can also do is we can use planning to get the nine action factors working for us. We're going to unpack the nine action factors in chapter 18 of the book, which is three chapters forwards from here. But they're the factors that drive what we think and what we do. They're always on, but often they're invisible and we're not aware of them. So the planning process, consciously addressing each of those nine areas and planning how we can get them working for us instead of against us, is going to be key to having a better chance of managing our behavior. So we can use willpower to resist in the moment, to stop ourselves saying that thing we really want to say, to stop ourselves doing that thing we really want to do. But we can also use willpower as a conduit for change. That is, we can use it to create plans about the future and about what we will do in the future. And the fact we've created a plan, and if we've created a habit building plan that we show you how to do in our approach, you've got a much better chance of deploying the behavior that you want to deploy rather than the one that you're in the habit of deploying.
Yeah, thanks for that, John. Please do keep your questions coming in. If you have any, post them in the chat in the Habit Mechanic University app, and we can put them to John. If you're listening live, of course, you can do that. If you're listening to this recorded, then hopefully we can share some insights for you. But please do have a think about your questions as we start to move towards the end of this session. We'll just have one question come in, John. Directly, actually, someone's just listened to what you've said about planning and the pivotal nature of it. They just say, could you just reprise for us? And they do. They are a doer of the daily tea plan, they tell me. Could you just reprise for us how planning in the way the daily tea plan does help us plan to reduce our stress?
So how can we use the daily tea plan to plan to reduce stress?
Yeah, and how does it do that for us?
Yeah, well, it's on a continuum. So our ability to manage stress will be tied into the knowledge and skills that we've got to be able to do that. So I might have some really sophisticated knowledge and skills about managing stress, for example, because I've, let's just say, I've read the stress management chapter. So I'll use a tool in the from the stress management chapter within the context of the T plan. So the first thing we're going to do in the T plan is do some intelligent self-watching. And the standard T plan question is, how well did I do my best to be at my best and achieve my goals yesterday? Well, straight away, we can tweak that question if we want. We could say, how well did I do my best to be at my best and manage my stress yesterday? So straight away, I'm focusing the question and the intelligent self-watching onto a very specific behavior. And you give yourself a score for that. You could, 10 would be perfect, 1 would mean we failed. And then question number 2 in the T plan is create a tiny empowering action, a T-E-A, to help you to do a little bit better today. So if I'm working on stress, it will be to manage stress better. So I may have read chapter 22 in the book, or I may be working with a stress coach in the Habit Mechanic University app. So I've learned about the power of focus reflection. We know that a core way to process stress and manage it better is to write structured reflections. We have a number of tools that we show that the stress coach will show you how to use. Let's just say we're going to be general and just say, at the end of the day, I'm going to write a positive or a helpful reflection, which means I could use a 3-to-1 if I wanted, or I could do something longer form, like some expressive writing. But I'm just creating that time marker at the end of the day. At the end of the working day, I'm going to write this reflection. And then 3 is why. Why is that going to be helpful for you? So this is activating a couple of the 9 action factors just in one question. It's firing up our personal motivation, because it's making the action more meaningful. It's also helping us to get a better understanding of the reward and penalty systems at play if I engage in that behavior. It's also acting as a trigger, as a reminder, because of the fact I've written down the why, means I've got a stronger recollection of this T plan as I go through the day. So the why might be, well, if I spend 5 minutes at the end of the day writing a written reflection, I'll process the day better. I'll learn more. I'll remind myself more of the helpful things. I'll feel better about myself. I'll be able to switch off. I'll be able to sleep better. I'll be able to be more productive tomorrow and finish work on time. So just in 3 simple questions, and it's, I suppose, the T plan is the simplest version that we've been able to create of intelligent self-watching and intelligent planning process that people find really powerful. So just by answering those 3 questions, you've got a much better chance of dealing with stress and critically processing stress out at the end of the day, because that's the key thing. It's, we often can't avoid stress, but we can get better at proactively processing it out.
Yeah, I think that's fantastically helpful for anyone who is doing the T plan already, just to re-emphasize its power. But also, that's a great explanation for anyone who's considering doing it and should be doing it. So, yeah, thanks for that, John. Please do, if you have any final questions for us, just pop them in the chat in the Habit Mechanic University and we'll get to those. Otherwise, perhaps you can ask us something next time. John, as we approach the close now of this session, I suppose it's always struck me that you chose to personify willpower as a superhero, or Wilhelmina power, of course. I know you make that distinction in the book, willpower or Wilhelmina power. You personify them as superheroes. They've got they could be out of a Marvel film, wearing a cape, whereas Hugh is personified as an ape-like figure. Just talk to us about that, how helpful that is to just consider this overarching power that we have within ourselves that is a superpower.
Yeah, I think it goes back to narrative, and there's a classic narrative between good and evil. It's at the heart of all long-lasting stories. I think it's Joseph Campbell, isn't it, who wrote about this, and that Joseph Campbell's work is the basis of things like Star Wars, for example. It inspired George Lucas. This goodie versus the baddie. I suppose we're taking a step beyond that, and we're saying that these two forces are not opposed. What you actually need to do is get them working together. So we talk about, you know, accepting and enjoying the, and sort of laughing. I think that's one of the things people most often report to me when they understand their hue a bit more and their hate brain more. They say they find themselves laughing at themselves more because they just start to notice some of the really silly things that Hugh puts into their consciousness. But yeah, we can relate to superheroes, we can relate to superpowers, and we do all have this amazing ability to change our behavior. Yet we've been probably repeatedly told that, you know, things like a leopard never changes its spots, that we're fixed, that we were only born to be good at certain things. That isn't true. No good science that's available tells us, that supports that hypothesis. We now know that brains are hugely malleable. We are designed to learn, and we get good at what we practice. But even that simple explanation, that we're designed to learn and we get good at what we practice, can be difficult to understand because we relate concepts like learning to learning maths at school or learning English. We don't think about learning to get better at beating ourselves up. And we don't think of beating ourselves up as practicing beating ourselves up. Every time you do something, you are practicing it and therefore strengthening the neurobiological connections in your brain. And that's why we go deep into learning and how it happens in a really accessible way in the book. And what underpins a habit mechanic approach is developing your habit mechanic intelligence. And what we're, I suppose, introducing in chapter 15 is the overarching process of how we develop our habit mechanic intelligence. We are putting this knowledge and these skills into our brain, and we are trying to increasingly automate how we are able to use that knowledge and skills. So knowledge to skill to habit. Willpower is the conduit to doing that. So we talk about learning as the superpower, and willpower is our conduit to learning, because whatever we don't know today, the only way we're going to know it is by paying conscious attention to it. That is getting it into our working memory. That might be something that's written on a piece of paper in front of you, or it might be something that's been swirling around your subconscious and it's just emerged into your prefrontal cortex. But we have to get it into there and then repeat to remember to repeat. And that's how we then start to move that from our short-term memory into our long-term memory. So yeah, I think at the heart of why the habit mechanic approach is so helpful for people is because of the powerful stories at its heart, and the willpower/Wilhelmina power. And Hugh is, you know, central to all the stories that we're talking about. And hopefully, you know, maybe in the future we'll create some graphic novels and things like that where we can bring those characters to life in even more detail.
John, I was going to say thank you so much for taking us through chapter 15 and the related issues and sharing more insights and taking the deep dive into the insights in the Habit Mechanic book. I know the app, the Habit Mechanic University app, has been developing very rapidly, as you said, with the addition of the personalized coaching, which is a fantastic resource. if you have time, just give us a quick brief overview of where we are with that and how people can access that.
Yeah, well, first of all, our mission is to make it as easy as possible for people to be at their best using cutting-edge insights from science, including neuroscience, behavioral science, applied psychology. So, aligned with that mission, we are making personalized coaching, unlimited personalized coaching, and on-demand personalized coaching. Not on-demand where you go on a website and you book a session with someone, where on-demand where you open your phone and you can start working with a coach straight away. We are making that free to anybody. So if you go in the app now, you can start working with a coach for free, absolutely free. That isn't free to us, that's costing us money, but it's aligned with our mission. But for those people that want more sophisticated support and they want to work with more nuanced coaches, then they can upgrade to the premium level, where we've created an holistic support package where you can work 24/7, unlimited, on demand with any coach of your choice to work on those specific areas that you want to work on. Coupled with that, we have 3 live training sessions per week. Also, we have a rich toolkit where you can, a habit building toolkit where you can analyze your habits and use our digital tools, ones that you may have learned about in the Habit Mechanic book. You can use those tools to keep progressing and developing the habits that you want to develop. We have a rich community in the Habit Mechanic University app as well, which are supporting each other every day. So the Habit Mechanic University app now is a really, really powerful and I think unique health, happiness, leadership, if you want to go there, support system. And we're really excited to get it into people's hands.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for your time today, John. Obviously, we have more live sessions coming up and more Habit Mechanic talks. Anything you'd like to say in closing?
Yeah, just that no matter how bad you feel and how helpless you feel, you do have willpower. You do have a prefrontal cortex. It's like a muscle. The more you work it out, the stronger it gets. So we can make positive change, but we have to abide by the rules of change, the 9 action factors. And the first rule always is make the change as small as you can. You know, so start with one press up, start with one walk around the block, start with one piece of fruit, start with going to bed 10 minutes earlier. But the more we work out that willpower, the stronger it gets. And you never know which new habit you build that is going to be that first or second super habit or third super habit that you develop. And that's why we say you're only ever one habit away.
Thanks for listening. Remember, if you want to get your business off to a great start in January, get in touch to discuss how our Habit Mechanic keynotes or workshops can equip your people with practical skills that help them build super habits in 5 minutes. Or if you want to earn $100,000 a year working part-time by launching your own coaching business, we guarantee to help you do that in just 13 hours. Get in touch with us today to learn more about becoming a certified Habit Mechanic coach who can transform people's lives and is recognized as a world leader in the field. For more details, contact us via the website. The link is in the podcast notes. Or if you want to feel better and do better every day, download the Habit Mechanic University app from your app store. Thanks again for listening.